From scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week, we're talking about five myths about older workers. This was an article published on a website called The Conversation and has been syndicated to the World Economic Forum website as well. And because Nigel and I have a combined age of just over 100, we consider ourselves potentially to be in the bracket of the older worker, and therefore maybe we could talk about it from a personal experience, or maybe we think we have a bit more insight on it than someone who's younger. I don't know. But we thought it was quite an interesting topic. So the myths are: older people can't learn new things, they are less productive, they take more time off sick, they will retire and leave the organisation, and they are overqualified, and that is a bad thing. So Nigel, what is your thinking about these myths?
I'm frustrated by, on the one hand, this kind of celebration of four generations in the workforce, or even five generations in the workforce. We have to have that. It's inevitable that there'll be people coming into the workforce and people working longer. If your pension is not going to be available to you 72, you're not going to retire at 50 unless you've been very fortunate in life or you're sick. So we extend the working life, but we don't extend the mental capacity to incorporate that. So we've got people working productively from perhaps 20 to 70, and a recruiting and hiring mentality that says the only people who are any good are aged 28 to 40, say, because that's when they're young, that's when they know a bit but not too much, that's when they're vibrant, that's when they're willing to learn. And they have this view in spite of all the evidence to the contrary. And that's what frustrates me, that this isn't shifting. There is still age discrimination in the workforce. And I would argue that age discrimination happens at the beginning of your career and at the end of your career. So at the beginning of your career, it's assumed you can't do anything, you can't take responsibility, which is rubbish. And at the end of your career, you're past it, you can't learn anything new, and therefore we just leave you quietly in the corner, pottering away, which is also rubbish. The result is that we compress productivity into the center of the workforce and ignore potentially huge productivity gains at the beginning and end of a working career. And that drives me crazy. And one of the things the article points out is that the most successful entrepreneurs, the average age is 45. The best entrepreneurs are aged between 42 and 47, if you take best as those who can create successful companies that continue. So how, and what do you have to do to get organizations to recognize that the world has changed forever and that they are just wasting human potential if they don't change as well? That's the frustration that I feel. And you get that all the time. You hear it from people who are told by a headhunter, well, you're 50, you know, that's a really difficult age for us to place you. 49, hey, we can get something. 50, whoa, you know, you're over the hill. And I ran a program for young leaders under 30, and there were 15 people on the course. And as we began to go through the program, all I got from the participants was how much more potential, how much more they could do. They were being held back by their organization every single time. Almost without fail, they were underperforming because they weren't given any credibility. So underperformance here, underperformance there, focusing on the middle. It's crazy, and it has to change. So that's my position, Martin.
And all I would add to that is I rather serendipitously listened to a program on Radio 4 last night about retirement and older workers. And it was interesting because they had Linda Grattan, who's a professor of management at London Business School. She talks about the 100-year life. And she was talking about the fact that we should now be looking at these different stages in our working lives and the need for people to reskill and upskill throughout much longer working lives. She was talking to people that who had hit retirement age, who are basically starting new businesses. Some are taking apprenticeships. I think that was really interesting for employers, this idea that apprenticeships are for younger people only. Yes. When that's patently not the case. And yet it kind of chimes with your point that the thinking and the mindset is it is a younger person's thing, and actually you could be offering apprenticeships to older people as well. And the context for all of this is that on that program they mentioned, and I haven't been able to find the figure so I must look for it, is that the CIPD have predicted there it's going to be millions of more jobs available by 2020, and we need to fill those jobs, and that means that we need to fill them with people of all ages, and most likely a lot more older people will be filling those jobs. And the economy will just soak that up, and it will be better for productivity and output.
And I think better for people's lives. I think you've got to remember that as well.
Yeah.
To have disposable income, to build up their pension for the end of life. To reject people at the age of 50 is criminal in a way.
Yeah.
If someone has got 30 years of life and they're trying to live for those 30 years, based on the small surplus they accumulated from the age of 20 to 50, you know, it doesn't compute.
Yeah.
There's this, just one thing to mention. There's, in 2009, the National Institute of Adult Continuing Education produced a report called Learning Through Life, an Inquiry into the Future for Lifelong Learning, edited by someone called Tom Schiller and David Watson. And this talked about the four stages of your career and how it's the importance of re-engaging with learning. There are four critical moments in your career. And the last one was to re-engage people as they move towards the next stage of their career, age between, say, 50 and 60. So this wasn't the terminus. This was the beginning of a new stage. And it's a really worthwhile report, 250 pages of it, based on interviews of hundreds of people. Sunk without trace. So it saddens me that the evidence is right in front of our eyes and we do very little to listen to those people like Linda Grattan and Tom Schiller and co. and make those changes that we need to make for not just the future of individuals, but the future well-being of this country.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to end on. And hopefully, dear listener, you can do something about it yourselves, whatever your roles are. But really be thinking about that, I think, is really important right now. We need to be thinking about how our attitudes to all the generations in the workplace. So, Nigel, that was a great conversation. Thank you very much.
Martin, it is always a pleasure. Thank you. From scratch.